Welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. On March 11th, 1959, A Raisin in the Sun opened on Broadway. It's one of the most important plays in the history of American theater, and it tells the story of the American dream and its limitations for Black Americans. Here's a scene. This is from the 1961 movie version of the play, starring Sidney Poitier and Ruby Dee.
I'm looking in the mirror this morning, and I'm thinking I'm 35 years old, I'm married 11 years, and I got a boy who's got to sleep in the living room because I got nothing, eh? Nothing to give him but stories, like on how rich white people live, eh?
Eat your eggs, Walt.
Damn these eggs. Damn all the eggs that ever was.
And go to work.
I'm trying to talk to you about me. Now all you're going to say to me is eat these eggs?
You never said I didn't know. I listen to you every day, every morning, every night. You never say nothing new. So you'd rather be Mr. Arnold than be his chauffeur. So I'd rather be living in Buckingham Palace.
And that's just what's wrong with a colored woman in this world today. You don't understand about billing your men up, making them feel like they're somebody, like they can do something.
Our colored men who do things.
No thanks to the colored woman.
Being a colored woman, I guess I can't help myself now.
A Raisin in the Sun was written by Lorraine Hansberry. She was a profoundly intelligent, politically radical, and emotionally perspicacious 28-year-old when the play first came to New York. Hansberry was also an unflinching artistic critic of American life. Here she is in 1959 on the television show Look Up and Live. She'd been asked if she thought it was a compliment that some people considered A Raisin in the Sun to be not a Negro play at all, in the words of the presenter, but a play about people.
It's a misstatement. It's very much a play about people, but it's also a play about Negroes in the first place. I've said very often that I think that you achieve the universal through the specific.
Yes.
And it certainly is a protest, perhaps not in the traditional forms. That's what they mean, I hope. But it is more than a protest in that I did try to suggest that there is something to do, that it is possible to take principal positions in our lives.
Lorraine Hansberry died in 1965. She was just 34 years old. A new documentary airing on PBS Tonight explores that remarkable life. It's called Sighted Eyes, Feeling Heart. And documentary director Tracy Heather Strain joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
It's a riveting, riveting couple of hours of television. I absolutely enjoyed, I loved watching it. So let me just ask you the most basic question. Yes, Lorraine Hansberry has a remarkable life, but what drew you to it specifically? What made you want to tell her story?
It was Hansberry's words. I was first introduced to them when I was 17, which is about 40 years ago. And they just hit me, as they do many people. And I was living in the suburbs of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I had never encountered a young Black woman who thought things similar to me. And so she stayed in my head for years until I decided to become a filmmaker and decided I wanted to make a film about Lorraine Hansberry. And I can't believe it's actually happened.
Well, I think one of the things I enjoyed the most is that I learned so much in watching this about her earliest years, which I didn't know about, and her remarkable family, particularly her father in Chicago. Obviously he is a force that sort of thunders throughout her life, even after he died. But can you tell us a little bit about him?
Sure. Carl Augustus Hansberry, Lorraine Hansberry's father, was a migrant from the South. And came to Chicago and started. He worked at a bank that he helped found. He did all sorts of things, including he started collecting rents, and then that developed into him buying up properties and dividing them up and making kitchenettes, which is the kind of housing unit you see in the play A Raisin in the Sun. And so this is like the ground where this is where Lorraine gets all of her ideas that end up in A Raisin in the Sun. She's in this empowered Chicago community of African Americans, and her father's a leader. He's working towards making change for African Americans. He's a member of many civic organizations, and he ends up taking a case all the way to the Supreme Court. They buy a house in a previously all-white street. They're forced to leave.
Well, violently forced to leave.
Yeah. Yes, yes. The mother's guarding the house with a loaded German Luger, according to Lorraine. And her sister in our documentary tells a story that Lorraine was in the house and someone threw a piece of mortar through the window and almost hit 7-year-old Lorraine. So these were really impressionable things. But she really was a daddy's girl. She loved him, and she thought he was someone that was always doing something special and unusual. And it was a great inspiration for her.
And so she goes, unfortunately, he passes away. And I don't want to give away the whole story because there's an interesting move before that. Mm-hmm. But he passes away. She goes to college, but then goes to New York and works at Harlem. You know, in this incredible community of black activists and intellectuals, she's writing radical journalism, which seemed incredibly. I'm looking at it now, thinking we need stories like that published today. But what led her to playwriting, though?
It seems that it was, you know, that was the medium of the age, first of all. But I think that journalism wasn't doing it for her. I mean, in some ways, Freedom Magazine was like preaching to the converted. And she was working with people like Paul Robeson, who had been on Broadway in Othello in the 40s, and Alice Childress had been on Broadway in Anna Lucasta. So she's around people who are both writers, activists, and theater people. So, but one day she sees a play. We tried to figure out what play it was that just made her angry, and about how Negroes were, as she said, Negroes at that time were represented. And she said, "I'm going to write a play that's realistic about black people." And that's a paraphrase of what she said. But and so she starts in, you know, writing Raisin in the Sun. This woman taught herself how to write a play. She didn't study playwriting somewhere. Like everything she did, she applied herself, she read, and she practiced.
I mean, astonishing talent, right? She's what, in her mid-20s? Late
27,
yeah, when she's writing this. How did it come to the attention of Sidney Poitier? Because he starred in the first stage production as well.
Yes. So first of all, it was her friend from the left, Phil Rose, decided to produce it. And Phil Rose used to play poker with Sidney Poitier. And Sidney had been on a record that Phil Rose had produced. He was a record producer. And so that's how it got to Sidney. And Sidney was key to the funding, even though it was very hard to fund. It kind of was like an early Kickstarter campaign almost, because the donations were so small for getting Raisin in the Sun onto Broadway.
She, the play is, it's well received, to say the least. And then, as you said, it moves to Broadway. But you also talk about how much was at stake, because it was the first of its kind it's like an honest entry into the interior lives of black Americans. And there's someone that you have in the documentary who says there was so much at stake that what did the person say, that
if this didn't hit, then we wouldn't have one of these for a long time.
Yeah,
Wilkerson, who's writing a biography of Lorraine Hansberry. Yeah, we were really trying to make the documentary feel like the tension that the people we interviewed shared with us. They were so nervous because people didn't want to believe that white people would relate to a drama about African Americans. Yeah. And so many people, that's why it was hard to fund it, and that's why people didn't want to give him a theater. And then everyone thought if it didn't make it after all the tryouts, then nobody else was going to get a shot. Fortunately, right. That didn't happen.
No, I mean, she won one of the highest theater award in New York. The line was, the image of a whole race of people was at stake. That really stayed with me. We just got a couple of seconds left here, Tracy. Lorraine Hansberry died at 34. I mean, talk about a talent cut short. Just got a couple seconds. Do you ever think to yourself, what more might she have done?
I always think about that. And she was working on so many different things, and it's just such a shame.
Well, but at least tonight on PBS, I strongly encourage people to watch this documentary, because you really get a sense of how remarkable her life was. And we barely touched the surface. Tracy Heather Strain, director of the documentary Sighted Eyes, Feeling Heart. Again, it airs tonight on PBS. We have information about it at our website, radioboston.org. Thank you so very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for today, everyone. Have a great and peaceful weekend. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.